With one of the country's best loved comedy, TV and music stars, George Kapniaris, in the studio. He's here for The Fringe with his latest show, Malarkus with Attitude, which we're performing at the Rhino Room.
Morning, George. I like the way you said that, Malarkus.
Malarkus.
Malarkus with Attitude.
But that's the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, that's it. You did it perfectly.
Because I'm not entirely familiar with the word, actually, Malarkus. Can we start with what?
Malarkus. Malarkus. It's a rude word.
Right.
Okay. So it's kind of like the DH word, you know, but people don't use it. It's like the word bastard. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can be a good old bastard.
Right.
Or you're a bastard.
Right.
So and that's how the Malarkus word works. And it's actually worked for the title of the show because a lot of people are coming to the show. So I'm going, is it still me? I mean, are they into me because I was Trevor on the – I wasn't even Trevor. I was George. But on the RAA ads – or is it because the poster's working really well? So it's been an interesting experiment. You know?
Well, yeah. So you're performing at the new Rhino Room. You've already done a few shows.
Yeah, it's like deja vu. It's like back at the Rhino Room, but it's not the Rhino Room. It's another place on Piri Street. So if you got tickets, don't go to the old Rhino Room.
No, you'll find a very tragic
pile of rubble. Yeah, I just saw it now. Where's the car park? Nothing's there.
No,
it's all gone. But it's been, I guess, moved to a bigger venue, so the room is much bigger. It's actually a nicer room to play. I mean, the Rhino Room was great.
It had that grittiness, didn't it?
Yeah, it was all you know, condensed, and we were all in there together, and it was kind of like, you know, like a working environment. It was almost like, you know, communal thing. But now there's more space, so more people can get in. And, yeah, it seems like a really good venue.
Don't have to leave the room to go to the bar.
You don't have to – no one's looking at you if you need to get up. Yeah, what's this guy doing? You know, you can sneak out. I did my first show last night, and it was fantastic. It was a really good night, yeah.
Well, can you tell us a bit about this show, Malarkus with Attitude?
So Malarkus with Attitude is basically the theme is the word Malarkus, so I'm just playing around with it, you know. But it's also about me doing Malarkus, which is basically – you know, just muck around with life and, you know, how things are changing and, you know, coming from an old school upbringing, you know, in the 70s and 80s to actually coping with the way the world's going at the moment. It's a real gear shift for a lot of people. So, and people are relating to my version of what it's like at the moment. So Malarkus comes out of the frustration of not coping too well, you know. I mean, I look at you and you're on your own and you're working the whole panel all by yourself. Well, you know, you guys are superhumans, your generation.
Oh, it's much more complicated, really, than it looks. Everything all just sort of automatically happens, really. That's the young generation. It just all happens
Look,
for
I
you.
Can't multitask. I can't do one thing at once, you know. So for me to just cope in the modern world, it's pretty hard. So I talk about me. I talk about, you know, generations like my mum's generation. I talk about my kids' generation and how we're all coping with, you know, technology and technology versus humanity. And at the end of the day, you know, we all become Malarkus because it's a stress release.
Right. Well, you've had a really quite a rich experience in show business. You've been working a long time. And how has that changed? How's technology changed?
I think I've been now in the business for 33 years. So it has changed, you know, with TV. You know, TV's really changed, you know, the way it's shot, the where it's shot now. You know, we used to have to shoot shows in studios. Well, they don't exist anymore. It's a room in an office, you know. With film's different. So when I started off doing, you know, shows like The Flying Doctors, that was shot on 16mm and 35mm, and now it's just shot, you know, on a phone. You know, that's how things have, you know, progressed. And, you know, with everything, you know, the radio station, you guys, what you do, it's all changed. So it takes one guy instead of five guys to run a radio show. So, yeah. It's interesting times, definitely.
Is that why it's great to get back to stand up though? Stand up doesn't really
stand up is
change.
A release for the person, for the individual. You know, it's, you know, when you vent, you're sitting there with your friends and you're venting about stuff. Well, stand up, you're venting in front of 150 people or 300 people or 1,000 people, depending on how big the room is. And how it works is when they relate to what you're talking about, they laugh as well. So that's the joy of stand up comedy.
Now, it's stand-up has changed in, you know, in decades as comedy changes and all that. And you sort of came up in comedy talking about culture, talking about ethnicities and stuff. How has that changed?
I still talk about culture and ethnicity. I mean, I can't not talk about it because it's a big part of my life, and I am a Greek Australian. I'm not, you know, my family's from another place, and, you know, it's not the flavour of the month. I'm not an African, I'm not an Asian, I'm not an Indian, you know, but still I'm not going to let go of that. I'm not going to pretend I'm not who I am. So I always incorporate culture into my shows, you know. It's like Kamal, not, you know, saying that he's Sri Lankan or Indian or, you know, whatever he is. I don't know what he is. He could be, I don't know, Cypriot. I don't know. But I always incorporate my ethnicity into my shows. So that hasn't changed. But I'm trying not to do the old stuff that I did 30 years ago. I'm trying to give my modern version of who I am and where I am at the moment. So
is that tough, sort of coming at it from a new perspective? Obviously, discussions around these sort of topics have changed in recent
Comedy's
years.
Comedy's changed too. Mm. You know, I'm sharing the Rhino Room with other performers, and looking at the style, the modern style, it's different. It's different. So my process is keeping sort of the skills that I learned along the way, but trying to adapt to the modern way of comedy. And it is a different style of comedy too. So even last night I was watching a performer and going, oh, yeah, I should do more of that, you know, and less of this, you know. Where in the 80s when I started doing comedy, we had a style. It was a style. It's a more naturalistic style now. You can't pretend so much. You can't exaggerate. And if you do on stage, you have to explain to the audience that I'm actually pretending now. I'm lying to you. This is not real. I'm pretending to be something or do something. It's funny. You have to take people through this journey, you know, because they're skeptical. Crowds are skeptical now. I don't believe you, you know. I don't believe that story. So you have to explain it to them that, you know, it's either a real story or not a real story. So it's kind of funny.
That is interesting, the way audiences have changed. And it's interesting that you're still learning. Do you speak a lot with the younger comedians?
Yeah, all the time. And the great thing about doing a fringe festival or a festival comedy festival is that you are surrounded by all the different performers. It's like going to a conference for us. It's going, you know, I'm going to the comedy conference. Yeah, let's go. And you rock up and you see, you know, new talent. You see great talent. You see everyone get up there and have a go. And they all have something, you know, that you don't have. So you learn. You actually learn from their style and their technique. So as much as I dread doing a comedy festival because you have to produce your show and then it's a risk, you know, in money. If it's successful, it pays off. If it's not, you lose a lot of money and time. But it's always worth it, you know. For you ask all the comics here in Adelaide at the moment, they'll say it's worth it, you know.
I'm speaking with George Kapaniaris about his fringe show, Malakas with Attitude, just showing each night for the rest of the fest, except for Mondays at Rhino Room.
Yeah.
Well, you speak about it sort of being a risk, but you've already sold out your Friday and Saturday night shows.
Yeah, I've done really well.
For this run?
My wife was like going, no, don't do it. Don't, not again. And I'm going, yeah, but Craig at the Rhino Room wanted me to do it. What should I do? Oh, look, I'll do it. It'll force me to write some new material. It's worth it. Let's do it. Let's do another show at the Rhino Room or the Comedy Festival. And I've rocked up and it's done really well. I've sold out now 4 shows, I think.
It's fantastic.
Going on to 5, but there's 3 nights where it's still, you know, it's hard to push the Wednesdays and the Thursdays. So if you don't want to walk up to the show, you can't.
Look,
you know.
Adelaide, the Fringe is only here for 1 month a year. Just,
you know, and it's like, it's so good because you can just go have a dinner and then I'll go see a show. Have a bit more dinner. I'll go see another show. That's the beauty of a festival. It's all there around. I saw last night, you know, there was a great act that I love. He's doing a show. It's Danny Boy, and he's doing a work in progress. You know what? I'd go see that show. You know, it might be a work in progress, but it's Danny Boy. You're not going to see Danny Boy all the time, you know. It's fantastic. So so many great comedians around. There was a bunch of people there last night, so I came out of the Rhino Room. There's a restaurant next to the Rhino Room, and they're having dinner, and they've gone, come in, come in. And they, I go, hi, did you, yeah, we saw the show. We loved it. Yeah, cool. And they go, we're having dessert now. We actually had dinner, came to the show, and now we're having dessert. It was great. I go, they should do a 2-for-1 offer or something.
Come back, have a nice, that's yeah. a good amount of break,
that's
really.
That's the beauty of the city of Adelaide. You know, you got the gardens, you got food at the gardens, you got things to do, you got comedy shows, you got burlesque shows, you got, you know, cabaret shows. What a great place to be.
Absolutely.
You know, in March, you know. So you guys are lucky. I don't like the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Right.
It is, it's cold, it's miserable, it's dark, and you just don't want to get out of bed to go and see a show.
So the city doesn't light up in the same way?
No, it's miserable. It's a miserable old festival. But the Adelaide Fringe Festival, it's almost like going on a holiday every time you come out here.
Right, I bet that's not what you're telling the Melbourne radio.
I am telling the world. You send that. What are you taping it on at the moment? What is it?
There's a big reel behind this wall.
Yeah, just chuck it up, send it over. Put it in the back of my car, I'll drive it back.
Now, last year you got a 9 out of 10 star review for your show.
Yeah.
Are reviews important to you?
When you get 9 out of 10, yeah. When you get 2 out of 10, no, ignore it. Rip it up. the reviewers, you know, we say we hate the reviewers, but when we get a good one, we love it.
Mm.
When we get a terrible one, we just can't sleep at night. So, you know, it really shouldn't, you know, affect you as much as it does, but it does. It does affect you. And it's almost like someone either admiring you or acknowledging you or, annoying you at the same time. So if you say you don't pay attention to reviews, you'd be lying. Everyone, because why would we stick the quote on our poster?
Exactly.
So, I've got a reviewer coming in next Tuesday. And I'm just gonna. I just feel like going to the, you know, the Fringe office and going, all right, who's the reviewer? Okay, because I want to know who it is. Because if they haven't got a name that ends in Menini or Opolis, I don't want them to come to the show because they won't get. No, you get it. It's a mainstream show. It's not that woggy. Okay, it's even though I talk about the Malacca word, it's not, you know. Well, everyone gets it.
Yeah, I think everyone gets it. Well, particularly you're talking about the way the world is changing. I think everyone.
Yeah,
can...
and that's the main theme about the show. You know.
Well, is there something that you hope people come away from, feeling after the show?
They're all coming away going, "That was a great show. That was so." I go, you didn't think it was a bit too this, a bit too that? No, we loved the show, you know. So it's actually the theme works, you know. So people aren't coming up to me and going, oh, you didn't really explain the Malacca thing that much, or what does Malacca mean? Or, you know, after the show, you know what Malacca means. You know why I'm saying Malacca a lot. You know the journey that I've taken. And unfortunately, last night I ran out of time because it's a one-hour show. So I think I've written a one-and-a-half-hour show.
Right.
So I had to jam-pack everything. Jam-pack a malakias is my, my phrase. But I had to jam-pack everything into an hour. And right. I think it finished on a strong note.
Had to do a bit of, can you please stop laughing? I've got a few more jokes to get out. I'm trying to get all this
comedy.
Well, at the
end, it was like, I didn't even give him a chance to laugh. I just kept on talking over him. And I had to finish with I've got a couple of big songs in the show, which is cool too. So I think the crowd enjoyed that as well. So it has a cabaret feel in some ways. So I had to get to the song because I was getting the red light, you know. So we organise a light and it flashes when you got 5 minutes to go. But my audience, you know, being mostly ethnic, were late. They were 10 minutes late, and he's flashing the light. I'm going, no, I'm going to get more out of this. I can't go off in 5 minutes. I need more time on this stage.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
What?
I know, right?
Was I late?
We're just getting to the good bit, and we've run out of time. George Kamenaris, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Awesome, thank you.
George Kamenaris, he's in town for the Fringe Festival with his show Malakas with Attitude. You can catch it every night of the festival except Mondays at the Rhino Room. Make sure you get in, as Friday and Saturday night are already sold out.